WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the deportations case of a Maryland man mistakenly deported to a prison in El Salvador heads back to the lower court judge who ordered Kilmar Abrego Garcia to be returned to the U.S. The Supreme Court upheld the order and for the Trump administration to facilitate his return, but El Salvador's president has since says he has no plans to release him. ABC's Terry Moran on what the courts can do.
She can hold the individual lawyers from the Department of Justice in contempt of court. Courts do have contempt powers. She could fine them day by day. She could put them in jail if they continue not to obey the order as she sees it. That would appeal and get to the Supreme Court again.
Indiana's governor announcing today he's issued 9 executive orders, including banning soft drinks and candy from food stamp programs known as SNAP. Other states, including Idaho, also joining the Make America Healthy Again initiative outlined by RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Officials from Wisconsin's Head Start Association are sounding the alarm following the closure of a regional office. The closure reportedly led to local staff members being placed on administrative leave, and Head Start officials are also expressing concern over a USA Today report claiming the Trump administration was considering a budget proposal that would eliminate funding for the program across the country. Over 15,000 kids and 4,000 employees in Wisconsin would be affected if federal funding for the program dries up. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and advocacy groups are calling on state lawmakers to approve $68 million in funding for crime victim services over the next 2 years. The call for funding was announced at a press conference on Thursday as the state loses federal funding through the Victims of Crime Act. The Wisconsin Department of Justice distributed about $44 million to local victim service providers each year for the past 5 years, but funding cuts in October slashed that amount to just $13 million annually. A Minnesota man is officially facing charges in Washburn County following his arrest in March. According to court documents, 30-year-old Daniel Berglund of Inver Grove Heights was arrested on March 1st after Spooner Police Department officers initiated a traffic stop. While searching his vehicle, they allegedly found a combined over 200 grams of marijuana in vapes, cartridges, wax, and in plant form. They also allegedly recovered a loaded handgun. Felony drug charges have now been officially filed in Washburn County Circuit Court. Two people were arrested in Duluth over the weekend after a fight involving a firearm. According to the Duluth Police Department, the altercation occurred near Ascentia's Green Ramp at around 7:30 on Friday night. Details on how the fight started have not been shared, but authorities say three people were involved before one of the men pulled out a handgun. Another man allegedly took the gun and threw it into a construction area where it was found by authorities. The two men who were arrested are facing charges of fleeing and carrying a gun without a permit. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A bad night for the Brew Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' first night back at home, and they lose to the Tigers 9-1. Detroit was up 9-0 by the fifth inning. Pat Murphy says the Crew didn't lose like this last year.
Yeah, this is the fourth time we've been blown out in 17 games. We didn't get blown out four times in 162, I don't think. But this is the fourth time in 17 games, so that is concerning.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready for the playoffs. They face the Pacers Saturday at noon. Head coach Doc Rivers on how the team looks heading into that best of seven series.
I like some of the things we're doing. I actually think we need the week of practice. I really do. I think we can really hone in on some stuff that we want to do, especially with Giannis handling the ball more. There's some things we feel like we need to get better, and I think we can do that.
The Phoenix Suns have fired head coach Mike Budenholzer. After just one season, they finished with a disappointing record of 36-46. Budenholzer led the Bucks to an NBA championship in 2021. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With more and more sunshine today, winds are still whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. But those high temperatures still tap 50. With a high pressure system settling in tomorrow, it'll be bright and beautiful with plenty of sunshine and warmer too, with highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 43 degrees at our studios.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Joining us on the show, Representative Mark Pocan. Just a couple of things going on in Washington that we'll be kicking around. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison. Skies are partly cloudy or partly sunny, whichever you prefer. Not too bad of a day. A little chill in the air, Mr. Zommers, but glad to be back on the air with you. You were down at that Brewer blowout last night, but not in a good way.
I sure was, and it sure was demoralizing.
But you had great seats. And I'm sure you had a
I
great
did
time.
Have great seats. It was a good time, but it also... There was one point in, I believe, the seventh inning, I might be remembering incorrectly, towards the end of the game, where the bases were loaded. We could have gotten... a grand slam, you know, or something, right. But no, it just petered out. The Brewers never caught their footing.
Tough game for the Brewers last night against the Tigers. They'll try again this evening. Pre-game show starts at 6:05 across the network in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and beautiful Hayward. The Tigers against the Brewers tonight at 6:05. And it's tax day. One of my least favorite holidays or days in America is tax day. But one of my favorite people in all of America joins us now on Tuesdays. He is the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. And I think now I can I announce the new part now as well?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
Frankie. And starting next Wednesday, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, how are you, Patrick?
I'm great because it is tax day, one of my favorite days of the year.
Oh, good Lord.
And
why?
I'll tell you why.
Please.
In the many people that I met while serving in the legislature and running for Congress, I will never forget one particular farmer who had done very well for himself, and he was quite old by this point.
Sure.
And he said, there used to be more people like me who said this, but I love paying my taxes because it reminds me how far I have come in life, that there were days when I'm the one who needed help. I needed handouts or a hand up, and now my taxes go toward educating our kids, having good roads, all the things that make Wisconsin better than almost any place else in the world to live. And that is something we should be proud of, not cynical about. You know, he described himself as an FDR New Deal Democrat because he was old enough to remember, you know, what times were like when times were a lot tougher. And it's so easy for us to be cynical and selfish and believe that all of the bad things in the past are staying in the past. But if we've learned nothing over the past, oh, I don't know, couple of months. It's that some of the worst features of that era, the pre-New Deal era, can very much happen again. So we'd best be thankful for what we've got, and we'd best not take it for granted.
I think that's a lovely, lovely sentiment. And I agree. We're fortunate to live in a country where there are services. And to get those services, I get it. Of course, if you want good roads, look, we all got to pay taxes. We got to have good roads, things like that. It doesn't take the burn off my wallet anymore because I save up. I knew I was going to have to pay this year. And I knew I had to say, and now I have this nice little savings, it's all gone.
But it's like saying, oh, Christmas really snuck up on me. No, it didn't. It's December 25th every year. And if you're either expecting a really big refund or you've really got to pay in a lot, well, again, that's not the fault of, you know, the government. You got to plan these things out because you roughly know your income, barring any unforeseen circumstances. Mm. So you're either withholding too much or too little. And by the way, don't take all this pleasant rhetoric about it as any kind of, you know, endorsement of the current tax system. Mm. It's a joke. It was made more of a joke by Donald Trump, Ron Johnson, and others in 2017. And I cannot believe we are at this point again where the disaster they created then is about to be recreated here. There's all the politicians that are like, oh, we should have a flat tax and something so simple you can put it on a postcard. Well, first off, no. We need the exact opposite of a flat tax. And second, yes, we could make the system a lot easier. The IRS pretty much knows what your income is. They could tell you. In many other countries, they send you a letter saying, here was your income, here was your situation, if it hasn't changed at all. Here's what your tax or your refund would be. And we could simplify it that way, but there are too many people, places, companies that make money off of the tax industry to allow Congress to ever make taxes easier on us. And that's a damn shame.
Yeah, I pretty much go along with that. I have an absolute bias, so I come to it with a personal bias because my years as being a small business owner in Wisconsin and employing whatever around a dozen people part-time, well, one guy full-time. And I just, in my experience and talking to other people the same way, that more to your point, Pat, that the way, even in the state of Wisconsin, you're working 90 hours a week when you're running your own business, and then you got yahoos that are like, oh, you didn't file a piece of paper that said you're going to be paying us taxes. Did I pay all my taxes? Yes. But you never filed the piece of paper. So that's a $1,500 fine.
And I could not agree with you more because when I first knew I might be running for elected office and we had, when we had kids here and we were both working crazy jobs. And so we hired a cleaning lady. Mm-hmm. And remember the old days? When a cleaning lady, that was enough that you couldn't get a cabinet appointment for a newly elected president because you didn't pay taxes on the cleaning lady's income.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure to follow those rules. And so let me say for the record here, because I still have an LLC, I do nothing with it, but I just wanted it to be there just in case.
Sure.
The system in Wisconsin is an absolute joke. Yeah. It is. It is everything that you just said and more. And if I could have tackled anything else as a legislator, it would have been to tear into that and say, why does this have to be so complex? So again, don't take my comments on the concept of taxation going to good things versus an endorsement of the tax system.
Right.
It's awful. And needs to be fixed.
One quick thing. Because I've been there. And so confused, I seize up because partly my dyslexia is more numbers than letters, but I can look at a state budget, multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar state budget. I can explain it to people fine. But to sit and do things like my taxes, it just freaks me out. And so I was in the place in years past where, like, I didn't want to do something wrong and file something incorrectly, so I just didn't file. And I thought it was better not to do something incorrectly. That's, by the way, that's the wrong answer. If you're out there and you're like me, at least file an extension. You could go online, do it fairly easily. They ask you to pay what you think you might owe, if you owe anything. If you don't think you're going to owe anything, just file that extension. It's a one-page form. It'll save you a lot of headaches moving forward because, folks, I've been there.
Absolutely. And yes, I've said multiple times, if you can't make it today, don't skip it. The only people who can skip on taxes today are millionaires and billionaires because Donald Trump gutted the IRS. Not the one that goes after regular folks, the one that goes after multimillionaires skipping out on their taxes. Joe Schmo, not going to get away with it. So file the extension if you can't get it done today.
This is your tax service from Pat and Todd today. No, no.
We are the H&R Block heads.
I do my taxes now. The great folks at H&R Block in Monroe, Wisconsin. And my tax preparer, her name is Faith Block. I'm not making that up. No relation. Wow. But yeah, and I just, you know, so I can report to you that my taxes have been filed and my debts to society have been paid.
I noticed my bank account shortly after midnight had the correct amount plucked out of it. I'm like, well, you guys didn't waste any time.
Nope, not at all. All right, here we go. In all seriousness, Patrick, a quick apology on the air. I did this last week off the air because last week I had been told, and Zomers is my witness.
Oh, Zomers is again.
I just want to do this.
The lineup is out there. It's okay.
I know, but I did this. I really feel terribly because as Zomers is my witness, I was told I was free to talk about the lineup, and then I blew it because you had not announced on your show that you're the new lineup, and I really, really felt badly. So I apologize to you and your listeners for getting ahead of the game on that. That's on me.
But talk
about the new lineup and the new show. It's very exciting.
I filled in for somebody on this network yesterday, and my first question to the producer was, have they mentioned the change yet on this show? Nope. Oh, well, it's going to be awkward talking about my change, but okay, here we go. But, you know, people have sick days and things like that. Right. Anyway, Up North News Radio is getting a name change. It's getting a new time slot, an expanded time slot. Instead of 6 to 8 on weekday mornings, it'll be 6 to 9. So there's more me to go around, apparently.
Wow, fantastic.
Followed by Matt and Air on Air from 9 to 11 will be their new time. And then, of course, your new time is 2 to 4. And
wait,
I'm very flattered to be asked to do an extra hour programming. I hope it's a nice endorsement of what we're doing. In terms of, you know, will we be doing much of anything different? Two things. One is that I am, and I haven't even announced this on my show yet. Something else we're breaking on your show first is I'm tired of fighting with Facebook and YouTube and other social media companies when we play music, you know, pop music. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still going to do the This Day in Music History thing, and we're going to find a way to keep that section off of social media or something.
Okay.
But in terms of all of our other bumper music and everything, it's just too much of a hassle. And there's a lot of great, you know, independent music out there that's not restricted by license. So it'll sound a little different. Mm-hmm. It'll have a different name, Mornings.
With a conveniently named Pat Kreitlau.
It'll have that. And then the one other thing is that obviously with an extra hour, I tend to do some kind of we have a regular stable of guests at 6:30. Mm-hmm. We try to bring in newsmakers and political folks at 7:30. Well, now at 8:30, I'm hoping to do the other thing that we do at Up North News, which is much more Wisconsin features. We don't do enough features on our radio show. So if we can talk about people, places, food, drink, you know, all things that, as one man likes to say, make Wisconsin great. Hey. I think that that's a very noteworthy thing, and I hope people will give us ideas for guests and topics.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's, I of all people, change is never easy, but I think there are some good things happening, and certainly part of it is increasing your show to 3 hours. L.A. Tom on YouTube said, asking about Earl Ingram's show, and just make sure that folks know, I know Jane talked about this morning on her show, Earl is not going anywhere, by the way. Earl and Civic and Earl have agreed to this, and I'm told he's excited about it, that he is, instead of doing his morning show, he is going to be an ongoing special correspondent to Civic. He is going to do kind of a podcast type of thing and be on different shows
Our show. And yeah. We'll be talking to Chad Holmes that way as well. A lot of fun ahead of us.
So Earl's not going anywhere. Hope you aren't either. Come on back. Pat Kreitlau, Todd Allball, Zomers on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. Join the hunt and attend Amory Bunny Bash going on Saturday, April 19th to be held at Michael Park in Amory. There's a fireman's pancake breakfast, Easter photos, kids games, a coloring contest, and an egg hunt at 10:30 a.m. That's all Saturday, April 19th at Michael Park in Amory. A reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
It's more than a place to shop. Schrader's Department Store is a 134-year-old cornerstone in the Manitowoc County community of Two Rivers. It's also the oldest, and not just in the state, but the country, still operated by the same family.
I am fourth generation. We've made the store just our own special spot now.
AJ Schrader runs the store with her sister, and like every generation, grew up working there.
My sisters and I were all raised in the department store from little on. I would wait on customers when I was 12. It's just a part of who we are. Our customers are what open the doors every day.
So it's a mix of new and old, including services like tailoring.
It's just a great place to be.
It really is a slice of Wisconsin you won't find anywhere else. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
With pontoon fishing knowledge so large, he had to go to 3 hours to give it to you every morning. Pat Kreitlow of the newly named Mornings with Pat Kreitlow starting next week across Civic Media from 6 until 9 a.m. Pat Kreitlow joins us every Tuesday. We'll see. We're kind of working out all of our new schedules. So, but the good news is we'll still talk to you once a week at some point.
Well, I just want to find out with the new schedule whether old man Trigvy is still coming along. And if so, yes. You know, can I get back to being reunited with him? Because he makes me sound so young and virile all the time here. So
that's fantastic.
I would go for that. I can learn so much at his knee.
We'll see if we can get the band back together here. April 15th, it is tax day. This is from the – no, Todd. They're never listening to us. Pat and I were talking last segment about today being tax day. I'm not joking around. Literally, during the break, I'm not joking around. On my phone, this pops up. The weight we carry, a tax day reflection from Main Street. For small business owners, it's some. And I mean, look at this. You just talk about it, and suddenly something pops up on your phone about what you're. No, none of. We're not being listened to by anybody, Pat.
No. Nope, it's all good. I mean, very secure.
Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend on Facebook, saying, I have good news and bad news. This tax day, the good news is my refund this year, $47,000. The bad news, I'm going to federal prison.
I would suggest spending that refund quickly.
Quickly.
Very quickly.
I would suggest spending it not at all.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Oh, Lordy. Pat, it's lots going on. News as it is every day. I talked about this a bit with Jane and Greg on Matt Air on Air this morning. I know you did on Up North News as well. There is a new candidate on the Republican side, a new billionaire boy who wants to be governor.
Well, I don't know if he's a billionaire, but I do know he's the CEO business owner. And that being the case, it means that we're doing another round of the Tim Michaels, Eric Hovde, let's run government like a business, let's bring out all the same old tropes. And whatever this guy's situation is, his announcement read no different. He's a carbon copy of Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde. Mm. And all I'm saying, and I'm not trying to make trouble. That's not true. I'm trying to make trouble here.
Good trouble.
Will somebody in the Republican Party of Wisconsin stand up and go, no, no, let's not try this again. Now, I'm not saying that there's some other perfect candidate who would be the GOP nominee for governor. I'm just saying that if you're going to run the same model for a third time at least, I mean, I think they were all hoping the Ron Johnson model would stick, you know, right. Wealthy business guy. Mm-hmm. But remember, he got a lot more money behind him.
Yeah.
And even then, he only squeaked through last time. Maybe you want to look at, again, imagine Rebecca Clefish looking at the radio going, right, right?
The key is, I think, in Ron Johnson's case, use your wife's money. That's the key for Ron Johnson. No, this story we're talking about by Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. Look, I spent 30 years in the Republican Party before leaving in 2011. Guy's name is Bill Berrien or Barron, Berrien, I guess, B-E-R-R-I-E-N. Never heard of the guy.
Pro tip, if you're thinking of running for something, find a way to get the pronunciation of your name in there. Have a little fun with it or something.
You know? Yeah, no idea. Never heard of him before. Owns some company called Pindle Global Precision and Liberty Precision in New Berlin. And, you know, he brings out the, and look, we've done shows on military bases. I have great respect for our veterans and everybody who wears the uniform. But here's another guy, says he, like Derek Van Orten, he was a former or a Navy SEAL. Look, if he was, God bless him for his service. But that seems to be a calling card. Oh, and by the way, I'm a multimillionaire. And he goes on, Pat, with some of the same tropes that we've seen from MAGA Republicans.
Yeah, the whole, you know, boys should be boys, girls should be girls. Let's beat up on China. Let's give parent choice in education. Parents already have a say in their child's education. So I'm not hearing anything other than, you know, him citing Donald Trump is going to spur the reindustrialization of America, which tells me this guy hasn't like watched the news the past couple of days,
right?
Because there's nothing about this current tariff policy that is going to reindustrialize. We're currently in the process of depopulating America, and we were already involved in a worker shortage. So unless this guy's got some new answers, it's just a retread.
And we played the cut yesterday of Trump on his Air Force One going to the UFC fight at taxpayer expense and talking about these tariffs, or not just the tariffs, but also the deportations, and saying things like, well, you know, maybe we're going to work with the farmers. Look, if the farmer vouches for some of these guys and they say they're okay, we'll let them stay a little while longer. Oh, same for the service industry people, the restaurant servers. If it wasn't so sad, Pat, it would be comical how he's walking certain things back, because guess what? The tropes and the lies he was telling that immigrants are taking people's jobs, for the most part, if not all, simply not true.
No, not even close to it. And unfortunately, far too many people are still, shall we say, intimidated to the point that they don't want to have a robust pro-immigration stance to them. You always have it couched in, oh, well, if anybody commits crimes, they shouldn't be. Yeah, we know that. Mm-hmm. We know that. We lock up criminals currently. But if you're going to lead with the fraction of immigrants who commit crimes, you're going to throw overboard all the people who are coming here wanting to chase the American dream, wanting to fill the jobs that we are desperate to have people fill, to build the prosperity of this country as the baby boomers continue to age out and fade away. We are doing this so backwards right now, and nobody's got the guts to say that this is a policy that has no economic basis, and it's not based in public safety. The statistics are there. It's not based in public safety. So what's left? Racism. It's a state-sanctioned racist policy designed to win over enough white voters to go, yeah, I feel aggrieved by these people who don't look like me. There's no thought into it whatsoever, and it's going to be so bad for our country in the long run.
We're going to come back and talk about this meeting yesterday at the White House with Trump and Salvadoran President Bukele. Minute left, Pat. Your thoughts on it before we go to break.
I just don't even know how to handle people that don't recognize the constitutional crisis that we're in. The only thing left to trigger it is for Trump to step up to a bank of microphones and say to the Supreme Court, you and what army? And at that point, we're going to realize this is a guy that has no intention of holding free and fair elections or ever stepping down. And then the question becomes, what are we going to do next?
Yeah. What we're going to do next is go through some of this, play some of these cuts from Trump and Bukele themselves. I agree with Pat. We are in a constitutional crisis. Never a crisis, though. Pat always makes us feel better every morning, 6 until 8. And soon, 6 until 9. Thanks, Pat. Thank we appreciate you. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With more and more sunshine today, winds are still whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. But those high temperatures still tap 50. With a high-pressure system settling in tomorrow, it'll be bright and beautiful with plenty of sunshine and warmer, too, with highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 45.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, you know, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here? The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from the Green Bay Children's Museum, our friend Heather Heil joins me in studio for some fun Northeast Wisconsin chat and a quiz she no doubt will ace. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ah, yes. Look at this. For people watching on the stream, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. Many thanks to Patrick Kreitlow for being with us. Pat now going to be starting next Wednesday every morning from 6 until 9 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Excited about that. More Pat is great. It's fantastic every morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Over the break, you might have heard a little meditation music. Meditation music, for, especially those watching on the stream. So we're working out of a couple of bugs. Everything is fine. No worries. Glad to be back with you. So just hang tight wherever you're at. We're working on a couple of things right now. But in the meantime, that was great, Sommers. I felt like I could just zen out for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That was play that for people that might not have heard it because it's very therapeutic. Home. I feel like the Skeksis in Dark Crystal.
Yes, normally that's our, good movie, good movie.
That's what my sister has favorite movies, Dark Crystal.
It's one of my favorites.
Really?
Too. I love practical effects in movies, and I love Frank Oz.
It's fantastic.
And all that good stuff.
Anyway, it's going to be thank you very much for Pat Kreitlow for being here. And coming up at the 1 o'clock hour, very excited about this. TJ Samanchin is going to be here. He is the president and CEO of Wonder State Coffee, who, of course, is the 2025 Coffee Roaster of the Year, as named by Roast Magazine, top roaster in America. Very, very excited. Of course, they were so kind as to host us last year, Trigvi and Reed Galen and myself. We took the show on the road. We did the show for the Main Cafe in Viroqua. TJ is going to join us to talk about the effects. He's part of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin. And he's going to be here to talk about the real effects of the Trump tariffs on people like him. Somebody who imports coffee, roasts coffee, has cafes. What do these Trump tariffs mean for Wisconsin small business owners? We will talk to TJ Samanchin after the top of the hour. And we have a what's worse for you as well. And much, much more. Right now, I want to turn our attention, touched on it before the break, to this White House meeting yesterday with President Donald Trump and the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele. And I think before we get into the cuts, I got a couple of cuts for you. I want to give you a little history. As our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, you're not woke unless you know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And he's very right about that. Never thought that my life knowledge and history of El Salvador and Salvadoran politics would ever come into play, especially here, but here we are. So for those who might not know, I'm not going to tell the whole story again, but basically went for the first time to El Salvador in December of 1991 with a friend of mine from college who was from there. We had hosted him as an exchange student in college, ended up going down there. And in 91, just before the peace accords were signed to end the 12-year civil war that killed upwards of 75,000-80,000 Salvadorans in that civil war. And thus began my journeys to El Salvador and went back 39 times thus far. My last time was in 2019. So I know the country fairly well, especially for a gringo. And I've seen this country go from civil war and destruction and bombed out roads to a vibrant economy. And the through line are the people of El Salvador. Wonderful, wonderful people. Better people you will not find. And what needs to be said at the top of this thing, and the reason you need to understand why Nayib Bukele is so popular in his country, is that these folks in El Salvador have endured all kinds of strife, death, fear, crime. There are people in El Salvador that have, up until Nayib Bukele came along, were taking different routes home for fear they'd be followed and robbed at gunpoint. Lots of places you couldn't be out after dark. I know business owners in El Salvador that were serious when they said, look, if you would say, let me chop off your left arm and we'll end the crime and the gang violence in El Salvador, I would do it. They were serious about that. Because it was so bad. And also, Nayib Bukele used to be part of the FMLN, the more liberal party. It was the opposition party during the Civil War that got rolled into an opposition party. And they've actually had a couple of presidents elected under FMLN. And Nayib was next. He was the mayor of San Salvador. And he did a lot of good things in San Salvador. He lowered crime to a certain extent. He invested in public spaces and infrastructure. And he wanted to run for president in 2018, 2019. And his own party, the FMLN, said, no, you're not next in the line. And said, we're not going to endorse you. We're endorsing this other guy. And he said, look, that guy doesn't have much experience and has done as much as me. And he said, no. Just wait your turn, Nayib. And one of his parents, I forget which one, I think is originally from Egypt. And so that's why he has a not a common Spanish sounding or name. It's a Egyptian more name. I guess dad is from Egypt originally. His mom is from El Salvador. Don't quote me on that, but that's more or less it. And he said, well, screw that. And he was like in his late 30s. And he said, so he's kind of the El Salvador version of Barack Obama. Young, good looking, wears a leather jacket and a baseball cap, super articulate, educated partly in college in the United States, fluent in English and Spanish and probably a couple more languages I don't know, and very proficient on social media, in particular Twitter. And he went to the Salvadoran people and said, look, and this is true, both the right-leaning party, ARENA, and the left-leaning party, FMLN, we've had presidents from both. Guess what? Most of our former presidents from both parties are in jail because they're criminals and they stole from us. How about we start a new party with new ideas? In fact, we'll call it the New Ideas Party. In Spanish, it's called Nuevas Ideas. And he started it largely by himself and his supporters on Twitter. And it caught fire. And he was elected by a huge margin. And then what happened, to shorten it up a little bit, is he said, look, I want to do this stuff. And the Supreme Court said, wait, you can't do that. That's against the Constitution. And he said, well, look, see, I'm trying to do stuff and these Supreme Court justices appointed by former presidents are holding this up. And the legislature, he didn't have a majority. They have a unicameral legislature, just one general assembly. And the assembly was kind of like, well, you know, we want to help you. And so what he did was he brought in the military into the National Assembly. And they were all armed and around the exterior of the floor of the assembly. And he went to the dais in front and he said, I'm here to pray. I'm here to pray that God will lead the assembly in doing the right thing and voting me the authority to do what the people have elected me to do. I'm going to leave now, but I'll leave the military here to make sure they encourage you to vote the way that God would have you vote. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he brought the military in. He said something similar and he left. And guess what? The military vote or the legislature voted to give him the power. And they threw out the Supreme Court justices in El Salvador that disagreed with Bukele. He installed yes people. The press, La Prensa Gráfica and Diario de Hoy, they called him out. He intimidated the press. Sound familiar? And the people loved it because they said, finally, someone's doing what we want them to do. And he pushed through his reforms. And guess what? During COVID, he had testing kits and masks and vitamins, and that's a whole other kettle of fish, that he delivered to every Salvadoran home. He fixed roads and infrastructures, and he suspended the law and the constitution of El Salvador and installed martial law. And they set up a text line. I'm not making this up. They set up a text line in El Salvador. If you feel somebody that you know or a neighbor belongs to a gang, text us and we'll come get them. And they did. And there is essentially no checks or balances, no trials. They got sent to this big prison in El Salvador that Nayib built. High security, beyond high security. They literally stack inmates up like dog kennels on top of one another. 30, 40 guys into a cell. And so what was happening, of course, is that some people are like, well, that guy slept with my wife. And they text into the anonymous line, this guy's a gang member. Gone. And the people love it. Because I haven't been there since 2019, the longest time I've gone now since I started going that I haven't been back. But what I'm told by a lot of people that I know who have been there, who still live there, is that it is so much safer and the Salvadorans love it. And he suspended the Constitution because you're only supposed to have 1 5-year term in El Salvador. He got them to say, hey, have another term. And he won by 90%. In an internationally watched, democratically free and fair election. So that's the history that everybody needs to know about this guy, Nayib Bukele. And in my opinion now, I believe that Donald Trump is looking at Nayib and is insanely jealous and wants to be that. And I've said, and Nayib, he loves the fact that he's called a dictator by the outsiders. And he calls himself the cool dictator. And Salvadorans love it for the most part. Not everybody, but for the most part. And this is the guy that did not get along with Biden at all, Bukele, because the Biden administration was calling him out, saying, look, human rights abuses, you didn't respect the Constitution, you were using the military improperly. And so Biden and Bukele did not get along at all. And now you got Trump. Trump makes a deal. Bukele, we'll give you $6 million to take whoever we send you. Bukele says he's transactional. Sure. Gets invited to the White House. Makes him look in Salvadoran eyes like a winner. And then this meeting yesterday in the Oval Office. Do we have time for the first cut, Zomers? So here is Nayib Bukele talking off camera or off microphone for U.S., but Trump was showing Bukele around the Oval Office, and there was a Salvadoran presser that had their mic on, caught Trump telling Bukele it's not just outsiders he wants to send to Salvadoran prisons, it's American citizens.
Demanded the people wanted to change everything,
and they don't want it.
It's not big enough. Come on. So this is a much different office than you're in.
It's hard to make out and. But I want it. What the key line is when Trump says the homegrowns are next, and Bukele says that's fair. We have space. The homegrowns, and later when the American press were there, they asked him, and he didn't deny it. He said, "Look, if they're homegrowns," and of course he always puts the caveat in. Well, you know, I mean, I'm having the attorney general look at this, pay him bondi. You know, we want to follow the law, but if we're able to do it, we're only talking about the really bad people. You know. The bad people that Donald Trump has said are really bad people, like former General Mark Milley, like Joe Biden, like Liz Cheney, like Adam Kinzinger. You understand now where we're going? Trump wants, it is insinuating, not even insinuating, saying it right out. He wants to send American citizens to a Salvadoran prison with no chance to return, no habeas corpus, no due process, no constitutional rights, that will never come back. And they're the people that he deems, Trump himself, are dangerous. 855-752-4842. Going to come back, play more cuts from this meeting from yesterday. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A North Carolina Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and refused to concede got help from the state appeals and Supreme Courts in his partisan battle to invalidate as many as 65,000 voters. His case is now back in federal court. April 4th, the North Carolina Appeals Court, on which Judge Jefferson Griffin currently sits, supported Griffin's position that 60,000 voters were never properly registered and that as many as 5,000 military and overseas voters didn't supply ID when they registered to receive their special mail-in UOKAVA ballots. April 11th, the North Carolina Supreme Court allowed the 60,000 voters to stand, but gave the approximately 5,000 military and overseas voters only 30 days to provide missing information or be disqualified, and a federal judge ordered that the race not be certified. April 12th, the League of Women Voters filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of those military and overseas voters. Griffin's opponent, State Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs, appealed in federal district court April 14th. In a blistering dissent in the state Supreme Court decision, Justice Anita Earls wrote, "Some would call it stealing the election, others might call it a bloodless coup, but by whatever name, no amount of smoke and mirrors makes it legitimate." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 9 before the hour, 1 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, check of local news, weather, and sports. And then coming up, TJ Samanchin, president and CEO of Wonder State Coffee, headquartered in Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the beautiful Driftless, the 2025 Roaster of the Year. And, of course, has cafes across Wisconsin. Talk about that, but TJ is part of Wonder State as a member of the Wisconsin Main Street Alliance, talking about the effects of the Trump tariffs on Wisconsin businesses. That's coming up after 1 o'clock and a What's the Worst in hour number 2 as well. Right now, talking and breaking down this meeting in the Oval Office yesterday, Donald Trump meeting with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele. I gave you the background here in the last segment. I want to play this cut where Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, talks about the criticism that he's had from outside about locking up thousands of Salvadorans, many without a trial, and it's believed to be many innocent people for the reasons I stated in the last segment. And here is his response and also his advice to Donald Trump about what he should do in the United States of America.
Sometimes they say that we imprisoned thousands. I like to say that we actually liberated millions. So, you know, like,
it's very good. Who gave him that line? Do you think I can use that?
Trump loved it. If he didn't get it, because, again, the audio is a little, not Zahmer's fault, it's just the source. But Nayib Bukele says, hey, we get criticized for imprisoning thousands. But the way I look at it is we liberated millions. And I'll tell you, most Salvadorans agree with him. They feel liberated from crime and gangs. And they're like, yeah, it's too bad that some innocent people got roped up. But unless it's one of your relatives or friends, you don't care. Because crime is so much, is almost, they've been gone from the murder capital of the Western Hemisphere to one of the safest places now in the Western Hemisphere in El Salvador. And Trump just with wide eyes says, that's a great line. Who gave him that line? Can I use that? And Nayib goes on to tell Trump, hey, look, your responsibility is to 350 million Americans. Liberate them.
goading them on, saying, do more of this stuff. Well, I'll play one more cut quick. It's kind of slightly different, but one of the reporters, CNN, was asked, I think Caitlin Collins, and again, the brashness of Donald Trump and his opinion of the free press in the United States.
What they've done to us at the border should never and can never be forgotten. It's a sin, what they did. And you are helping us out, and we appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Actually, what you're doing with the border is remarkable. You have dropped, 95%? It's incredible.
That, as of this morning, 99%, 99.1% to be exact.
Why are those numbers not in the media?
Well, they get out with the fake news, you know, like CNN. CNN over here doesn't want to put them out because they don't like putting out good numbers. They only like putting out because I think they hate our country, actually.
The President of the United States, the Oval Office, saying that one of the most, the one of the major media outlets in America, CNN, quote, hates our country. Imagine if, as Trigvi Olster reminds us, imagine if Barack Obama in the Oval Office had said on camera like that, or off camera, had said, you know what, I think that Fox News hates our country. The MAGA folks would have gone apoplectic. But yet it's fine for Donald Trump to say, you know, CNN hates our country. And again, remember, he is now asking the FCC chairman, which is pro-Trump, and wears a gold Trump head lapel pin. Trump is asking this guy to suspend the broadcast license of CBS. CBS. Because he didn't like one of the stories on 60 Minutes. Again, this is right out of Nayib Bukele's playbook in El Salvador, intimidate the press and don't get them to report the truth because it's inconvenient. That's where we're at. And then you have the sycophants, the people who are just lapping up Trump's boots, Marco Rubio, Pam Bondi, Stephen Miller, telling outright lies to the press, and they're not called on it, by the way, by anybody in the press. In the White House yesterday, outright lies that this poor guy in the guy who's in prison in El Salvador is part of the MS-13 gang in El Salvador, which an American court initially brought that up, or prosecutor, but because the guy had due process and his day in court, that was disproven. That was proven as false information. And the judge said at the time, because this guy is fearful of his life in his home country of El Salvador, the one, regardless of how this hearing goes, he must not be sent back to El Salvador, the one country on earth that the court said he couldn't be sent to. And then fast forward to where now the Trump ICE folks round him up, disappear him. There is no evidence proven in court by the Trump administration that this guy should have been deported. There is no evidence he was part of a gang. But yet he's disappeared. And this whole narrative of Naib sitting next to Trump yesterday saying, well, nobody can do anything. Give me a break. Trump's paying, the United States is paying El Salvador $6 million to house all these people. If Trump had just said in front of the cameras, Naib, we need this one guy back. Or you know what? We're not going to be able to pay that next payment on the $6 million. He'd be back. These guys are stroking each other's political egos. We'll keep it clean. They're dependent on one another. They're the same type of person. It's just that Nayib Bukele is a lot smarter and understands that he has to take care of his own people to keep his popularity. But make no mistake about it. We are in a constitutional crisis here. The next move is back at the courts. Will the courts help to continue to uphold democracy? Or will they surrender? Back with more after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, are voucher schools taking on their fair share of kids with disabilities? They say yes. Why? Because they say so, based on a guess.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A hearing set for today in the deportation case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a national mistakenly flown to a prison in El Salvador. Despite the Supreme Court ordering the Trump administration to facilitate his return to the U.S., President Trump and his Attorney General Pam Bondi deferring to El Salvador's president, who refuses to release him. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
In the Oval Office, the president of El Salvador made clear he's got no plans to send Abrego Garcia back to the U.S.
How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous.
The Democratic leader of the House calling on the courts to use judicial powers to pressure the administration.
Indiana and Idaho, among states who are announcing they'll ban food stamps from being used to buy sugary drinks and candy. The deadline to file your taxes, midnight tonight. It comes as tax officials estimate millions of Americans have yet to finalize their returns. This is ABC News.